بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة، إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, elders, beloved brothers, in this ayat of the Quran Sharif that I had recited, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that it is from among the signs of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created for you from amongst yourselves, from amongst your own species, azwaja, spouses. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, and what is the object, what is the purpose of these spouses? So that you will find sukoon, you will find tranquility, you will live with them in peace. From here ulama explain that we understand that the job of the wife is not to go out of the house and go and earn. If the wife is waking up every morning at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and she is going out to earn, she comes back in the evening, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the evening, and she is tired, she is exhausted. Husband is going out the same time in the morning, he is coming back in the evening, he is also exhausted. How is the husband then going to find sukoon and happiness in the wife? So if the wife stays at home, she will be able to now take care of her husband when he returns from work. She will give him that peace and then contentment that he is looking for. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has placed between you that love and that rahmah. Such love Allah Ta'ala has put that these were two strangers to one another. But when the ijab and the qubool, when the proposal and the acceptance took place, when the nikah was now performed, we find that the happiness of the wife became the happiness of the husband. The happiness of the husband became the happiness of the wife. If the husband is restless, the wife also becomes restless. If the wife is restless, husband also becomes restless. What love Allah Ta'ala had put. And this love, this is initially the binding factor in the nikah. Later on, 20 years, 30 years has passed, all that lust has now worn out. So now what is it that keeps the spouses together? Wa rahmah, this is the rahmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If a person has to just ponder a little bit over this, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ الْآيَاتِ, there are many, many signs in this. لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, for a nation that will contemplate, that will think a little bit. There are many such ayat in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks about spouses, husband and wife. But when it came to the khutbah of nikah, then we find in the khutbah of nikah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not recite any verse of the Quran that got to do with nikah. Every verse that he recited in the khutbah, if you look at it, it got to do with taqwa. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqwa rabbakum. O mankind, fear your Rabb. And who is your Rabb? Alladhi khalaqakum min nafsi wahida. That being that created you from one soul, from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa khalaqa minha zawjaha. And from it, Allah Ta'ala created his spouse from Adam al-Islam. Allah Ta'ala created as Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And from this union of Adam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, we find that mankind had spread out. So here Allah Ta'ala says, fear that Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala repeats this command of taqwa. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. That fear that Allah, in whose name you ask from one another. Somebody is owing you money. Now you're asking that person to pay up. He doesn't want to pay up. So eventually what happens when you get frustrated? You say, brother, in the name of Allah, I'm asking you. Please pay my money to me now. So Allah Ta'ala says, fear that Allah. Wal arham, and fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in regards to the rights of your relatives. Generally, the rights of the relatives are trampled upon. So here Allah Ta'ala says, fear Allah in regards to their rights. Inna Allah kana alaykum raqiba. That verily Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is watching over you. Every action of yours, Allah Ta'ala is watching. The second verse that is recited in the khutbah of nikah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatin. O people of Iman, fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the manner Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is ought to be feared. That ayyuta'a wa la ju'sa, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala should be obeyed and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala should not be disobeyed. Ayyudhkara wa la yunsa, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala should be remembered and Allah Ta'ala should not be forgotten. So, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And you will not die except as a Muslim submitting to the will of Allah. So here also the command of taqwa. The third verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. O people of Iman, fear Allah. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And speak correctly. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala will accept your a'mal, your deeds. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And Allah Ta'ala will forgive you for your gunas. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever obeys Allah and His Rasul, then indeed he has attained great success. So every ayat that is recited in the khutbah of nikah got to do with taqwa. What is the reason for this? Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi used to explain, he says that there's no stability in the country. Then initially the police force is called in. That now try and maintain stability in the country. If the police force, they fail in their job, then the army is brought in, they're much more stronger, they got much more arms and ammunition, they will be brought in now to stabilize the country. But in that home where there's husband and wife, which police force is going to come in now to maintain peace? Which army is going to be brought into that home? It is only the taqwa, that when a person has taqwa, the husband will realize, I'm accountable in the court of Allah Ta'ala, and he will fulfill the rights of the wife. The wife, she knows, I'm also accountable in the court of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The wife will then fulfill the rights of the husband. So it is the taqwa that will help a person throughout that nikah of his. We find, my respected elders and brothers, this nikah is so simple that in nikah, the khutbah is mustahab. If a person doesn't read the khutbah of nikah, obviously he'll be deprived of the barakat and the blessing. But for nikah to take place, for a person to be regarded as husband and wife, the husband just has to put a proposal, or from the side of the woman the proposal comes, any side, whoever sends, one side puts the proposal, and from the other side is acceptance. When there's a proposal and the acceptance, finished, in the presence of witnesses, whether it could be two men or it can be one man and two female, they must be Muslim, they must be baligh, etc. So if all the requisites are found, we find it, the couple are now regarded as husband and wife. So nikah has been made so easy. Perhaps one of the easiest things in Islam is nikah. To such an extent, on one occasion, Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala, a very, very great sahabi, he was from the Ashara and Mubashara. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala, he comes in the majlis of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was from amongst those 10 people that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his lifetime, he said that Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is from amongst the people of Jannah. He was given the glad tidings of Jannah in dunya. So he comes and he has a yellow mark on his kurta. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at him, he asks Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala, said, oh Abdul Rahman, what is this mark that is on your kurta? Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala said, ya Rasulullah, I have just made nikah, so I applied itr. This is that mark, that yellow mark from the itr that I had applied to my kurta. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so simple with the nikah, that even on this occasion, Nabi alayhi wa sallam didn't know of the nikah. Obviously, i'lan must be made of the nikah. A'linu hadha nikah waj'aluhu fil masajid. I'lan must be made of the nikah. It must be made public to the people, and it must be made in the masjid also. But the simplicity that here Nabi alayhi wa sallam didn't know. Nabi alayhi wa sallam didn't object. He didn't say, oh Abdul Rahman, you didn't even tell me about your nikah. Nabi alayhi wa sallam said, barakallahu laka wa baraka alayk wa jama'a bayna kuma fi khair. May Allah Ta'ala grant you barakat of Abdul Rahman. May Allah Ta'ala shower His blessings upon the two of you. And may Allah Ta'ala unite the two of you with goodness. So he gave him dua. And then he told Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala, and they of Abdul Rahman, awlim walaw bishatin, that make walima. Even though it is one goat that you have to slaughter, make walima. This is also a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, very, very close sahabi to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala was in Madinatul Munawwara. Nabi alayhi salam is in Madinatul Munawwara. It is mentioned when the battle of Bani Mustaliq had taken place. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now returning to Madinatul Munawwara. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala is with him. So it is mentioned that the camel upon which Jabir radiallahu ta'ala was riding, this camel was a bit stubborn on this occasion. It was refusing to move forward. So every time the caravan is gone ahead, the camel of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala is at the rear. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. He said, oh Jabir, what is the problem? He said, ya Rasulullah, my camel is not listening. My camel is stubborn on this occasion. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam broke a branch from a particular tree. And very gently he touched that camel with that little branch that he had broken. It is mentioned the barakat of the hands of Nabi alayhi salam. This camel started moving at high speed. And it was now ahead of the entire caravan. It is mentioned when the camel now was ahead, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. He said, oh Jabir, what an excellent camel you have. That your camel is right in the front. He said, ya Rasulullah, this is your Mubarak touch. This is your Mubarak hand that my camel is moving so fast. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Jabir radiallahu ta'ala that, oh Jabir, I want to purchase this camel from you. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala said, ya Rasulullah, what is the question of purchasing the camel? This camel is hadiya for you. I will give it to you free of charge. I don't want any money for this camel. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, no, I will buy it from you. And you will have to stipulate and you will have to dictate what is the price of this camel. So Nabi Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, he thought for a little while, and then he tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam that I will sell it to you, ya Rasulullah, for one awqiyah of silver. One awqiyah of silver is equivalent to 40 dirhams. That for 40 dirhams I will sell this camel to you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam told Jabir radiallahu ta'ala that, oh Jabir, for 40 dirhams you can get such a big camel, meaning that much more valuable camel than this you can get for 40 dirhams. So he said, ya Rasulullah, you dictate the price, you stipulate the price, whatever price you want to pay, I'm prepared to give the camel to you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, conclude the deal, 40 dirhams, I will take that camel from you. Then Jabir radiallahu anhu got off the camel. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, what's the problem now? You got off the camel. Said, Ya Rasulullah, the camel belongs to you. It's no more my camel. So therefore, I'm handing the camel over to you. So he said, how are you going to go to Madina Munawwara? You're going to walk to Madina Munawwara. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, get onto the camel and ride to Madina Munawwara. When we reach Madina Munawwara, you bring the camel to me. And whatever the money is owed to you, I will pay you in Madina Munawwara. So he rode to Madina Munawwara. When he reached Madina Munawwara, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu took the camel and he sent it to Rasulullah. Rasulullah took out one awqiyah of silver and he took the camel also and he gave it back to Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. He said that this was actually a gift that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to give Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. So he used this as a means to give this gift to Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. Now when this camel was moving at a high speed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. So he asked Jabir radiallahu ta'ala that, oh Jabir, did you even get married? Did you make nikah? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, just before we came to this battle, I have made nikah. So here also, he was in Madinatul Munawwara. Nabi alayhi salam was in Madinatul Munawwara. But so simple the nikahs were, that they got married and Nabi alayhi salatu salam didn't even know about it. Again Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam made dua, Barakallahu laka wa baraka alayk, wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. Allah ta'ala give you barakat. Allah shower his barakah and his blessings upon the two of you. Allah gather the two of you with goodness. Nabi alayhi salatu salam gave dua to Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. So look at the simplicity in nikah. When Nabi alayhi salatu salam himself, when he made nikah, and when he had his walima, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had his walima with Salama radiallahu ta'ala. What was eaten, what was consumed in that walima? It was only barley. On the barley, they celebrated the walima. When Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married, it was a Safiya radiallahu ta'ala. On this occasion, there was no food whatsoever. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, do you all have food? Whatever you all have, bring it, put it on the dastarkhan. It was put on the dastarkhan, they all ate from there. This was the simplicity in the walima of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he got married, it was a Zainab binte Jahash radiallahu ta'ala. On this occasion, some goat meat and some roti was eaten. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married, it was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. It is mentioned on this occasion, Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala, he sent a bowl. According to one narration it comes, there was milk in this bowl. And the walima was celebrated only with the friends of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. They had drunk of this milk and that was the walima of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Perhaps the greatest walima of Nabi alayhi salam, the biggest walima that was celebrated, was that of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. On this occasion, two camels were slaughtered. And we know that in a camel, there's a lot of meat in a camel. So many, many people perhaps were invited for this walima of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam. But so much of simplicity in the walima of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam, in the nikahs, in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam. Today we are gone very, very far from the actual sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. So much of money is being spent. Over 3 days, nikah takes place, a marriage ceremony takes place. Millions are spent, 1 million, 2 million rands are spent, and that too I think is a very small figure, much more than that sometime is spent. Whereas so many parts of the world, people are dying of hunger, people do not have food on their table, we are spending millions of rands just on a nikah. It is mentioned so simple is nikah, that in one hadith Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, salatan la tuakhirha, that three things do not delay in them. What are these three things? As-salatu idha hadara waqtuha. One is namaz. When the time of namaz sets in, don't delay in that salah, but immediately perform that salah. Later on a person gets occupied, he gets busy in something, he could miss that salah. That salah will become qadha. So the moment the time comes in, perform your salah. The second, wal janazatu idha hadarat. The janaza, when the janaza is present, then don't delay. Perform the janaza salah and proceed for the burial. To such an extent, the fuqaha have written that if it's the time of the faraz namaz, then the faraz namaz should be performed. But immediately after the faraz namaz, some say that you must perform the janaza salah. Although the fatwa is not given on this view. But one view is that immediately after the faraz, don't even read sunnat mu'akkada. Go and attend to the janaza salah. And the fatwa is given on the view that after the faraz namaz, you will read the sunnat mu'akkada. And immediately after the sunnat mu'akkada, you will perform the janaza salah. A person cannot perform nafil salah when the janaza is waiting. You will perform the janaza salah and then a person can perform his nafil salah. Wal janazatu idha hadarat. And the third thing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, wal ayyimu idha wajadta laha kuf'a. And a unmarried woman, that when a match is found for that woman, then don't delay in this, get that unmarried woman immediately married. In another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. That if a person comes with a proposal, what type of a person? You are happy with his deen, you are happy with the akhlaq of the person, فَزَوِّجُوهُ, get that girl married now to this person. إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيضٌ. That if you do not do this, then there will be fitna and fasad that will spread out throughout the world. And today we can see the reality is before us. Why? Because we are delaying our nikahs. So in nikah there must be simplicity. The nikah should not be delayed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make our nikah simple, and we those that are in the circles of deen, we should set an example for the people that are out there. If these people can see that, look how simply these people have performed the nikah, they will also take a lesson from that. Hazrat Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, he mentioned, he asked his aunt, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was his khala, he says that, سألت عائشة radiallahu ta'ala anha, ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصنع في بيته, that what would Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم do in his home? So perhaps Sahaba also thought that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at home also is an ibadah of Allah tabarakhu wa ta'ala, zikrullah, tilawat of the Quran Sharif. So as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, ma yasnau ahadukum fi bayti, what one of you do in your home, exactly the same thing Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do in his home. But what was the simplicity of Nabi alayhi salam? What was the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That Nabi alayhi salam, he would mend his own shoes also. Nabi alayhi salam would patch his own clothing also. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stitch his clothing. He would go to the extent that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would milk the goats also. He would wash his own clothing also. All this Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do. And this is one of the reasons why it explained that perhaps why Allah Ta'ala had blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a number of wives. That every aspect of the life of Nabi alayhi wa sallam is uswatun hasana. The da'wat of Nabi alayhi wa sallam is uswatun hasana. The jihad of Nabi alayhi wa sallam is uswatun hasana. The public life of Nabi alayhi wa sallam is uswatun hasana. The private life of Nabi alayhi wa sallam is uswatun hasana. The domestic life is uswatun hasana. Every aspect of the life of Nabi alayhi wa sallam is a beautiful example. If the azwajim mutahharat were not there, who would record the private life of Nabi alayhi wa sallam? How Nabi alayhi wa sallam interacted with them, how, what he would do when he would enter in the home. All this has been recorded of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that this was how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would behave, like how any one of you behave when he comes home. So here the question comes about that why would Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do all this himself? He could have asked Azwaj Mutahharat that do this for me, and it would have been a great honor for them to serve Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to help Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to fulfill the needs of Nabi alayhi wa sallam. If Nabi alayhi wa sallam was finding it difficult to ask Azwaj Mutahharat, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have asked Sahaba, and Sahaba were prepared to give their lives for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was finding it difficult to ask Sahaba to fulfill a task, just the thought had to cross the mind of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah Ta'ala would have appointed somebody to fulfill that need of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the battle of Khandaq had taken place, it was very, very difficult digging those trenches around Madinatul Munawwara. It was difficult for them, and certain salah also became qaza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no food on this occasion also. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had stones tied to his belly. Sahaba had stones that were tied to their belly. They were restless, they were tired, they did not have rest. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came home one night and he lay down on the bed. He lay down on the bed, he says, I don't know what went through the mind of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on this particular occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that how nice if a guard could be standing at my door. Perhaps he was so tired that if there was a guard, then nobody will disturb Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that the thought went through my mind that let me arrange, some sahabi will come and guard the home of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's so much of love for Nabi alayhi salam. She said that the thought is still crossing my mind, and we hear the tingling of the thought. So I asked that who is it that is at the door? So the Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala, he was there. So he said it is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. So the Aisha radiallahu ta'ala asked him, said, what brought you over here? So he says that I went home and I lay down on my bed. So he says, as I was lying, the thought came to me that today I want to be the guard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So immediately I came here, I'm here to now guard the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even have to ask. The thought will just cross the mind of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala would put it in the heart of Sahaba. They were ready to serve Nabi alayhi sallam. So why is it that Nabi alayhi sallam did all these works himself? So one reason that the ulama have written, that this also Nabi alayhi sallam regarded as a virtue. That like how when we perform salah, I'm going to get reward for this. A person fast, nafil roza, I'm going to get reward for this. Any good deed I'm going to do, I'm going to get reward. So here also, doing my work, doing the housework, for this also I'm going to be rewarded. The second reason, which is the main reason, which ulama have written, that a person, he may be a very big boss. He has got so many factories, or he's got one factory, he's got 200-300 people that are working for him. Somebody has got so many shops, so many employees that are under him. Somebody is an ustad, he's got so many students under him. Somebody may be an imam, he's got so many followers behind him. And now everybody is greeting Imam Sahab. That ustad, all the students are perhaps there turning his shoes also. That boss, everyone is saluting him from the point of entry till the point of exit of his business. But when you come home, then learn that you also are khadim. You are the servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is what was taught over here, that we are all the servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. A person should humble himself. A person should lower himself. Allah ta'ala, give me the tawfiq. We are all in need of it. That is why we are speaking about it. So a person should humble himself. On one occasion, Dr. Abdul Haysam Arifi rahmatullahi, he was sitting in the clinic in Pakistan. And whilst he was sitting, Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i sahab rahmatullahi is carrying a pot and he's walking in the streets of Pakistan. So the people that were sitting there, he asked them, he says that, do you know who this person is? So they say, they don't know who he is. He says, this is Mufti Azam of Pakistan, Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i sahab rahmatullahi. And he's carrying the pot and he's walking in Pakistan. Hazrat Maulana Alimiya sahab rahmatullahi, Maulana Hassan Ali Nadwi rahmatullahi. And we know what a great personality he is. Our Hazrat explained that what a great mufassir of the Quran he was. And eventually he went to Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi. When he said this, such a great mufassir of the Quran, when he heard Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi speaking, he says, Pata nahi kis andaaz se bayan kiya, goya aaj hi Quran nazil hua. That we don't know how Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi explained, that as though Quran was revealed and Quran came down now. It is mentioned when he was leaving the Khanqah of Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi, he told Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi, Hazrat, give me some nasihat. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi taught himself, he said that he is the Allama of the time. And what nasihat can I give to Mawla Alim Yasab rahmatullahi? He turned to Allah Ta'ala. He made dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala put it in the heart of Mawla Thanvi rahmatullahi. Hazrat took his finger and he put it on the heart of Mawla Alim Yasab rahmatullahi. He said, bhai, ye apne tariq se, awwal se akhir tak, apne aap ko mitana hai, apne aap ko mitana hai, apne aap ko mitana hai. That from the beginning right to the end, you've got to humble yourself, you've got to annihilate yourself. Dr. Abdul Hisab Arifi rahmatullahi, he says that after that we used to see Mawla Alimiya sahab rahmatullahi at the Khanqah of Mawla Thanvi rahmatullahi. People that are coming in, he is turning the shoes of people. So this also is the same objective, that a person helps in the home, that this humbleness comes into a person. We must have heard this many times before also. Dr. Abdul Hisab Arifi rahmatullahi, he says that after 55 years of marriage, he says that not once I spoke to my wife in a commanding tone. That I commanded her that you must do this. Or I commanded her that you must do this. Whatever my wife done for me, it was out of shafqat. It was out of love. It was an honor for her to serve me. Hazrat says that I would go and do my work myself. And if I was unable to do it myself, then he says that I would ask in a nice way, can anybody do this for me? Can anybody perhaps bring water for me? And somebody will volunteer and they will bring it. But never did he command, go and do this work for me. Dr. Abdul Hisab Arifi rahmatullahi used to say that I regard myself as a khadim of my wife. I regard myself as a khadim of my children. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi Hazrat had two wives. So on one occasion his wives came to him, they said, Hazrat, what do you like to eat? Whatever they would prefer, he would eat it. Not once did he make a request that I want to eat this or I want to eat that. So they came to him, they said, Hazrat, what do you like to eat? He says, what you prepare for me, what you cook for me, I'm happy with that. I don't want anything else. So they said, no, there must be something that you like. So then when they insisted, Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi told him, he said, okay, you make a list. And in that list, you write down what is easy for you to prepare. And what is easy for you to prepare, I'll choose from there. So they made a list. And from there, Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi, he chose that you make this for me. Then perhaps that was me for Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi. When he would eat on the dastarkhan, after eating, Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi never ever told his wife that now clean the dastarkhan. But what he would tell her, he would say, get somebody to clean the dastarkhan. And in this way, he would get the work done also. But how much of shafqat, how much of love they had for their wives, and how they assisted in the home, how they made it easy for their wives. We learn from our Hazrat, was it explained that Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, how should a person treat his wife? وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That live with them in a good way, in a kind way. The Hazrat explains, he says, فِيهِ تَعْلِيمُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى النِّسَى. In here, there is ta'aleem of being kind, showing, making ihsan towards your wife. There are three stages. The one stage is what we call zulam, where a person, he oppresses another person, that is out of the question, is haram. And there is no barrier between an oppressed person and between Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The dua that he makes, there is no barrier. It is accepted in the court of Allah. The second stage is what we call adl. That barabari, equalness. You be good to me, I be good to you. You cause harm to me, I cause harm to you. So that is what you call adl. And the third stage is called ihsan. That a person, he does harm to you. He tries to cause some difficulty to you. But in return, what do? You show kindness to a person. So he says, in this verse, Allah Ta'ala says, be good to your wife. فِيهِ تَعْلِيمُ الْإِحْسَانِ. This ta'aleem teaching, that make ihsan towards your wife. Even if though they might hurt you, they may say something that might not be appropriate, but then to you, be good towards them. وَالرِّفْقُ بِهِنَّ. And be affectionate, be soft towards them. And make sabr on their crookedness. And then Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ that if you dislike your wife, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا that perhaps you dislike one thing, وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا but Allah Ta'ala has placed a lot of good in that wife also. So don't look at that one evil of theirs or that one bad quality, look at all the good qualities that are there. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salam explains this, لَا يَفْرَثْ مُؤْمِنٌ مُؤْمِنَةً that a believing man, he doesn't have hatred for a believing woman. Referring to his wife, that the husband doesn't have hatred for his wife. إِنْ كَرِهَ مِنْهَا خُلُقًا رَضِيَ مِنْهَا آخَرْ if he dislikes one quality of the wife, there are many other qualities in that wife that a person he loves. So here we learn, ulama say that one usul and one principle is taken out from this hadith. And the usul is that you will never find anyone in the world that has only good qualities. Because here Nabi alayhi salam said, if you dislike one thing, then another quality you're going to like. So the usul over here is you'll never find in the world that a person has only good in him. And never will you find a person in the world that has only bad in him. But there will always be a mixture of two qualities. There will be good also in a person, and there will be some qualities that you dislike in the person. Now insan, what is our nature? We don't show appreciation. So what happens? Many a time we hold onto that evil quality, that wrong quality. And we say, no, this is a very bad person. Now we want to write that person off. Why he's got this bad quality in him? But in reality, what a person should do, think of the good qualities of the person, and that one wrong that person has, that will come out of our hearts also. Maulana Sami rahmatullahi has mentioned, he's written about one incident of a particular buzruk, one pious person. So his wife, whenever he entered the house, the wife will start the problem with the husband. So every time he comes in, the problem starts. And she had a very loose tongue also, she would say a lot of things to the husband. So one day one person came to the buzruk, he said that, look, that so much you go through, and you tolerate so much also from your wife, that why don't you give a talaq? So he told this person, he said, for me to give talaq also is very easy. To give talaq is not difficult, very easy to give the talaq. And it's very easy. So he told her that although it is very easy, I will never give this wife of mine talaq because of one quality that she has in her. So he says, what quality does she have? He says, she is a very loyal person, very, very faithful person. That if assume I'm in prison today, and for 50 years I'm put into prison, and I come back, I'm released after 50 years, I come back to this house, my wife wouldn't move from here, she'd be sitting in this house. So on this one quality that she has, I will never divorce her. So see, one good quality, and all the evil he overlooked. Yet the hadith is saying, one quality you dislike, there's so many other good in that woman. Quran is saying so many other good that they will be in this woman. Mirza Jane Jana rahmatullahi, we must have heard this also many a time, that a great buzruk, but what a delicate temperament. It is mentioned that if there was a flask, and if you take the cup and you put it on top of the flask, and the cup was a little crooked, immediately you will have a headache. If the duvet on the bed had a few creases on it, he will have a headache. This was the temperament of the man. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he wants to elevate his servants, when he wants to test them also, Allah ta'ala tests them in various ways. So Allah ta'ala gave him a wife that had a very loose tongue as well. So Mirza Sahib rahmatullahi used to say that I will make sabr on this, and I have hope that in this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make my maghfirat, Allah ta'ala will give me jannat on this, that I will make sabr on this wife. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, إِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ دِلْعِنْ that the woman, she has been created from the rib. One meaning which we all know, that the woman has been created from the rib of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Another meaning that ulama have taken out, that the woman has been created from the rib. What is the beauty of the rib? The beauty of the rib is how Allah ta'ala created it, that's how it is beautiful. So Allah ta'ala created the rib crooked. So the beauty of the rib is in the crookedness. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, فَإِنِ اسْتَمْتَعْتَ اسْتَمْتَعْتَ بِهَا وَبِهَا عِوَجٌ now if you want to take benefit from that crooked rib, then take benefit from that crooked rib, and the crookedness will still remain. So leave it crooked and continue taking benefit, you'll take a lot of benefit from it. وَإِنْ ذَهَبْتَ تُقِيمُهَا كَسَرْتَهَا and if you go to straighten this rib, then you are going to break this rib now. And then Nabi alayhi wa sallam said, وَكَسْرُهَا الطَّلَاقُ what is the breaking of it? That is now talaq. That now you want to sort the wife out, so if you want to sort out, now it's going to go to talaq. As I explained many a time, he says that we will never overpower the woman. With the tongue, you will never ever be able to beat the woman. She'll give you such a lashing that you never got before. So there was a husband and wife, on one occasion they were not speaking. Many a time husband and wife, they don't want to speak. So now they were not speaking. And then what happens? Now the husband is sending a message with a little child, go and tell your mother this. But she is listening to everything on that side. And then she says, go tell your father this. And the father, he can hear everything what the wife is saying, but they're sending the child in between. So nevertheless, they decided to take a drive. So as they were taking a drive, so the husband said, now I break the ice also. So he decided to break the ice. So he saw some animals on the side. When he saw the animals, so he tells the wife that, look, there's your family over there. So she says, yes, you're right, 100%. These are all my in-laws. So you'll never ever win with the wife. She's always got an answer ready for you. So Nabi alayhi salam said that many, you can take a lot of benefit from her, but the crookedness will remain. But if you want to sort it out, then this is going to result in talaq. And if there is problem between husband and wife, Quran has given us the solution of that as well. وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ. Those women, you fear disobedience from them. That there is a problem you cannot resolve. Then there are stages also. The first stage Allah Ta'ala says, فَعِذُوهُنَّ. That advise them, speak to them in a good way. That this is the problem I'm having. Let's try and resolve it. Let's do it this way and try and resolve the problem. If that fails, the second, وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِ. Now separate the bed. Now separate the bed. That is the second stage. If the second stage doesn't work, there is a third stage, but we should never ever go to the third stage, which Quran says, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ, that hit them. It doesn't refer to batting her up. It means ta'dib and fa'adab, just one or two slow shots with a miswak. دَرْبًا غَيْرَ مُبَرَّحٍ. There must be no pain also in this. No taklif also in this to the woman. And there shouldn't be a mark that should be left on the skin of the woman also. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, when Nabi alayhi salam passed away, he had 9 wives at that time. And in co-wives, there's always jealousy. That they were also human beings. So 9 wives. But he says that whenever he entered the home, Nabi alayhi salam entered with a smile. Always entering the home with a smile. It is mentioned Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his entire life, he never lifted his hand on any of his wives. And for a person to lift his hand on his wife, this is against the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam. It is not the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam. So Quran says that this is the different stages that a person should adhere to if you want to resolve the problem. There's much more in detail in regards to that also. We can find out from the ulama. I will just terminate, my time is up, on this hadith of Nabi alayhi salam of Hazrat Muawiyah bin Haydar radiallahu salam, where he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam that what are the rights of the wife. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam mentioned, أَنْتُطْعِمَهَا إِذَا طَعِمْتَ. That when you eat, then you feed your wife also. Not that you eating good food outside and the poor wife, she's sitting in the house. One lady, she phoned to her one day, she says that there's no cereal, there's no food in the house. Husband is going on holiday, he's eating Magnum ice cream, but there's no food in the house. So Nabi alayhi salam said, أَنْتُطْعِمَهَا إِذَا طَعِمْتَ. And then he said, وَتَكْسُوهَا إِذَا اكْتَسَيْتَ. That when you wear clothing, then buy good clothing for her as well. And one riwayat comes, وَتَكْسُوهَا إِذَا اكْتَسَبْتَ. That when you earn, then give her good clothing also to wear. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَلَا تَدْرِبِ الْوَجْهَ. That don't hit her on her face. وَلَا تُقَبِّهِ. Don't say bad things to her. Don't insult her. Many a times the husband insults the wife. He picks on the wife. If you fat, you like this, you like that. So Nabi alayhi salam said, وَلَا تُقَبِّهِ. And the last thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَلَا تَهْجُرْ إِلَّا فِي الْبَيْتِ. That don't separate from her except in the house. This is an explanation of this verse of the Quran, where Quran says that separate from them in the bed. So Nabi alayhi salam said, وَلَا تَهْجُرْ إِلَّا فِي الْبَيْتِ. That if you're separating, not that the husband leaves the house, he goes to live somewhere else and she is staying over here. No. Leave her in one room and you go and stay in another room. This is how the separation should take place. This nikah also that is taking place, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala grant them a lot of barakah, Allah ta'ala unites the spouses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites the families, and Allah ta'ala makes it a means of pious offspring. May Allah ta'ala give me the tawfiq of making amal, and all of us, wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.